got designer shades just to hide your face, and you wear them around like you're cooler than me, and you never say hey or remember my name, and it's probably because you think you're cooler.
Hello and welcome back to Leeds Student Radio. That was Mike Posner, Cooler Than Me, and the time is 7:07. Hello and welcome. I'm Louisa Fox, and this is the first week of Lou's Think Tank, where I'll be giving a platform of debate and discussion to some of our generation's most controversial and important topics. Today's show is entitled The Concept of Cool, and I'm going to look at, along with a host of interesting guests, what exactly makes things and people cool? Who decides what is cool? Can it be taught or is it inherent? Along with me later, I'll have a whole range of people from mostly from LSR to talk about their experiences of the term cool, what it means, and just what they think falls into that category. So to start off, I want to look at exactly what the internet tells me is cool. Urban Dictionary, always a very solid place to start, says that the best way to say something is neato, awesome, or swell. Clearly an American contributor here. The phrase cool is very relaxed, never goes out of style, and people will never laugh at you for using it. Very convenient for people like me who don't care about what's in. Interestingly, I always question if someone goes out of their way to say that they don't care what other people think. Is that somewhat ironic if they really, really badly want you to know that they just don't care? That's Urban Dictionary. And on the other side, Google, the standard Google definition search, says, firstly, it is at a low temperature, showing no friendliness towards a person or enthusiasm for an idea or project. Again, calmness and composure, and becoming or making something less hot if it's a verb. Interestingly, there's no reference to the fact that it is one of the most widely used adjectives amongst our generation and has been for some time. For example, other languages have actually had to come up with translations. The French word chouette, for example, is the closest translation to our use of the word cool. And clearly it's something that swept our entire society, and people are always looking for how to be more cool. So after this next song, I'm going to be talking to my first guest, playing some vox pops from the people of LSR and exactly what they thought of themselves in terms of how cool they were, and who they think is the coolest member of the LSR committee as well. You've joined us on Lou's Think Tank for the first ever week, where we're discussing the concept of cool, exactly what makes one thing cool and not another. I'm joined in the studio by Mo.
Hi, good afternoon.
To help me to start unpick and unravel this dilemma we have, first off, what would you say is the definition of cool today?
As in, like, in society?
Yes.
The definition of cool in society? Well, if we take Leeds, for instance, so obviously it's being very well dressed, which is obviously a very subjective term. Also, good music choice, again, very subjective term. These things which are classed as cool, I feel, are heavily related to what people would still deem a celebrity, but not so much these days. So in our parents' generation, the term cool would be because someone, I don't know, smoked like Sean Connery back in the 80s, or like someone had a mad hairstyle like David Bowie. But these days, it's very much the consensus of the public. It's what you look like in the public image for people that you don't even know.
Yeah.
So,
and I think it's interesting you mentioned smoking, for example, 1920s in particular, smoking was just a hugely classy, beautiful thing, really elegant, associated with, for example, idyllic scenes of a very elegant woman in a cafe in Paris or something. Mm. And now smoking is seen as cool by a very select group. For example, I think there's a massive stereotype of having your first cigarette if you're year nine, like 13 years old, and that's when it's cool, and that's when you're supposedly pressured into doing it, for example. Nowadays, do you think at university, do you think our age group is smoking is considered cool?
Well, I think it's not. I think it's considered cool by the person themselves, and that's because of the societal peer pressure that they feel, which I don't think is existent. But they themselves think, oh, I've got to put this image towards people that I'm in this sort of way. So what you see is a lot of people coming in first year, or not even necessarily first year, throughout university, who'll pick up smoking because they want to give off the image that they're cool.
Yeah.
Because although, like, you know, the government's tried to ban all these things about smoking and, like, all the advertising against smoking, it still exists, whether it be in TV shows and such. So Skins, for instance, something which is very central to our generation,
yes,
that promoted any sorts, from taking narcotics to smoking to relationships, all that sort of thing. So we've been brought up with that in the back of our minds. The 5%, which we don't think about, the subconscious, is telling us to do that.
And I think we're going to have a more in-depth discussion hopefully later about exactly the influence from film and media, because I think a lot of it comes from that. But for now, what do you think of Google's definitions? There's no reference to anything to do with how society pressures, for example, our generation to feeling we have to be cool. It's all references to, obviously, temperature, a fairly low temperature, and showing no friendliness towards a person or enthusiasm for an idea or project. Do you think that's in any way linked to the idea of cool for young people, as in cool as in?
Yes, because people want to be as nonchalant as possible. That's what a lot of people think cool is. They think that, you know, you've got to have this air about yourself where, you know, you carry yourself in a certain way in which you don't let things affect you, whether that be positive or negative. So if someone comes up to you with a really good idea, you have to brush it off, and if someone comes up to you with a really bad idea, you also brush it off. Essentially, you're an A&R person going to a music event for the millionth time. That's what people want to be.
So you have to really act like you just don't care.
Literally, yeah. And also, and that also translates into dress sense as well. So what we see these days is a lot of people wearing all black, because all black is easy and it shows
it's the least form of effort.
It's the least form of effort, but it also makes you look that cool, as what people would define it as.
Yeah. I've been around asking various members of the media society, so LSR and LSTV, if they themselves think that they are cool. And I think what's interesting here is that everyone had a definite opinion. There was no one that said, oh, I'm not sure. Everyone seems to know whether they are cool or not. So I asked various members if they were cool, and this is what people came up with.
Are you cool?
Of course I'm cool.
Definitely not.
You know, I'd like to think so. I'd like to think of a cool guy.
I don't know, probably not.
No.
Yes?
I think I'm cool, calm, collected.
I wouldn't say so, no.
I think I'm very cool, yeah.
No.
I'd like to think I'm a little bit cool.
And of course, it's Billy Truswell at the end saying, I think I'm cool, yeah.
Of course.
So everyone has a definite opinion. Why do you think that is? Why do people know whether they're cool or not?
Well, it's because I think it comes from two things. Like, so what I said earlier about you feeling cool for yourself, if you feel cool within your own boundaries as you as a person, then that's great, and that's how you can define it. As you can say, yeah, I'm cool, but that's not necessarily saying I'm cool to society stereotypes. I'm cool within my own borders. I'm comfortable with myself. I'm happy with the way I am. Whereas other people who are saying no, I'm not cool, they're referring it to society. So saying no, I'm not, I don't feel like I'm cool within society's standards, whether that be because people often go up to them and say, oh, you're really cool because of X, Y, Z, or it's because they don't feel like they are
conformed to what,
that they're conformed and therefore that they're not cool. Because that's been the age-old problem ever since we were in primary school, probably ever since, like, not so much in our parents' generation, it's very much our generation that, and all the ones following, that in school, even primary school alone, like, there was the definition of cool. I was never a cool kid. I used to sit there and play Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh! In the playground whilst everyone else was playing football. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's that thing about potentially the outside and where the lines are and what exactly falls within the current expectation. It does change a lot, obviously. And again, we'll be chatting about that later. I'm going to play Justin Bieber, which again, I think I'm trying to in keep with the theme for this one, because I think there's a lot of controversy within artists and exactly who is cool. Justin Bieber is decidedly not cool amongst a lot of people, and yet he smokes, he has tattoos now, he certainly publicly does drugs, or has done drugs, he's been arrested. In a lot of minds, that is cool. So we've just been saying during that song about Justin Bieber and the fact that anyone nowadays being brought up on his current music won't know him as the floppy haired teenager in music videos with poppies and cupcakes when he was 12. YouTube, One Less Lonely Girl, if you don't know exactly the video I'm referencing there. So nowadays he's all about featuring other artists. He's had a completely different style. He's not really baby pop anymore. And that makes a huge difference, and that does influence whether people think he's cool or not. And he's really, it's just a massive PR stunt, really, that he's pulled it off as becoming cool in a lot of people's eyes. Do you think any artist can do that with the right marketing?
Well, yeah, I think it takes quite a lot. I mean, the thing with Justin Bieber is that, as we were saying, He's taken up smoking. He's gotten tattoos.
Yeah.
He's done collaborations with Calvin Klein and such. These things are what society classes as cool. This is the umbrella of generalization of cool. And obviously his PR team have worked very hard to get him there.
Yeah.
I don't think that you need to do that necessarily, because there are a lot of people who don't have a PR team but are cool. So I would say that, for instance, Florence from Florence and the Machine.
Yeah.
She's a cool lady. She's not doing PR.
No. And do you think that it can go the other way? For example, someone who is, I would say, universally classed as cool. I don't think there's anyone who would necessarily have something against David Beckham, for example. Would you say that's a good example of someone that's generally quite cool in most people's minds?
Well, definitely. But I think his sense of cool is very split between the genders. So what lads would say is cool about him is the fact that he's had a successful football career. He's done various collaborations again with modeling agencies or like clothing brands and such. He's represented in the media as a good parent, whereas for girls, I get, these are all generalizations.
Yeah, no, of course.
For girls, then they'd obviously say that he's very attractive, also a good father, an athlete, which is attractive in some people's
eyes.
And
he is. I mean, he's always represented as a reasonable guy. He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Do you think that in the opposite way around to how Justin Bieber has somehow been pulled out of the depths of uncoolness and is now actually quite an accepted figure for a lot of people, do you think it would go the other way around? If David Beckham decided he wanted to release a music video and it was Rebecca Black Friday style horrific pop, how do you think that would affect him?
I think, well, it would definitely tarnish his reputation in terms of what society would.
Do you think it could make a dent in his reputation, or do you think he's so accepted as cool that people would go along with it and embrace that as the new cool?
But that's the thing. He's because that it, in itself is related to what's happened in sort of footballing careers history. So you've had other people like John Barnes in the '80s who went and made that arguably awful song for the World Cup and such. So I think people would relate it to that, and it would damage him a little bit, but he's the type of cool, I would, let's say, that's in inverted commas, he's inoffensive. That's why he's cool. He's not too much and he's not too little. He's just a regular guy, I suppose.
So inoffensive, I think that relates back to the, you know, fairly low temperature, the origins of the actual word cool, just being quite nonchalant about everything.
Yeah.
I asked again the members of different media societies what they think makes somebody cool. And again, I found all of the responses incredibly interesting.
Makes someone cool when they've got swag, a good dress sense, a good sense of humour, witty. That's cool.
Not thinking about it, just kind of like being laid back.
A confident kind of persona. Not caring about what anyone thinks about you.
Well, when you're in Leeds, edginess. Edgy's a huge thing. Apparently edgy makes you cool.
Can't be uppity and doing too much, because that's not cool.
I think it's an inner confidence, you know, believing in yourself.
Somebody might be cool if they're really sort of like distant and really chilled. Calmness and confidence. I think that makes somebody cool.
Personality and their, like, physical presence around other people.
I think a constructed set of societal norms makes someone cool.
I'm not rude. I'm not arrogant. Just being, like, a nice person. Being yourself. Being yourself.
So Jag thinks being yourself is the epitome of being cool. Would you agree with that?
I agree 100% because I think we're at a point now where everyone is so obsessed with what society thinks and how they think it and how that message is transferred, whether that be virtually, which is literally taking over our lives, or physically when you meet people eye to eye, that they want to impress that person before they even know them. Before that first impression, they want to make sure that they're on point. Whereas if you're cool with yourself in your own environment, then I think that's more important than making someone else feel like, oh, this guy's really cool.
So interestingly, there is a specific reason why it is Mo that I've asked to come in today. I'm hoping to maybe pick up some tips. I asked as the final question for interviewing some people earlier, who they think out of the LSR committee is the coolest member. And I mean, to be honest, I'm not including all of the clips here. The votes were pretty much unanimous. So take a little listen to this.
Who's the coolest member of the LSR committee?
Who's the coolest? Mo. Mo's the coolest person, of course.
Why is that?
Because he oozes cool, like, he's just so chilled.
Not that I want to inflate his ego any more than it already is, but I'm going to say Sam Oliver.
Obviously the Weezer Fox, I mean, yeah, clearly.
Emma Wright's just a cool girl.
It's really Emma.
It's definitely Mo.
Mosif.
I think it's Jag.
Oh, Mo, straight up.
So everyone, I mean, people were really saying Mo quite definitively. Sam Oliver trying to say me just because I think he was scared if he said anything else. So why do you think that your name came up so much? I mean, what's your opinion on that?
I honestly, like, it's very nice that people do think that I'm cool, but I honestly have no idea. I don't perceive myself to be particularly cool. I'm not what people have said about what they class as cool. I'm not nonchalant. I don't sort of sit there and brush everything off. I am very manic. I jump around a lot. I just think I'm a normal guy. I don't know how to respond to any of that. But.
I think it's really interesting. And maybe it is the fact that you wouldn't consider yourself cool that accidentally just makes you cool in the same way. And I think people, even though people there were saying about the nonchalant and brushing things off and being very not bothered, if we're taking that as a kind of framework at the moment for what cool is, I think that beyond that, they wouldn't have even thought to mention the fact that probably subconsciously they think things like friendly and approachable are also part of that. And if you're just a regular nice guy, like someone like David Beckham might be portrayed to be, then perhaps that's what's doing it. So Mo's just been topped as king of cool within LSR. And we've got a listener that's asked, why does that matter to you? Are you complimented or does it bother you in any way? What's your reaction to the fact that this is a fairly decided vote?
Well, it is a massive compliment, but also I am quite annoyed by it because...
Oh, yeah?
People shouldn't feel like they have to class someone as cool, even within their own friendship circle. Because everyone, this sounds so cliche, but everyone has a quality that makes them outshine someone else. Everyone's got that quality, and that quality is what makes you cool. So the fact that people are classing me as cool because someone quoted saying I ooze coolness, that's great, but it makes me feel bad when people don't class themselves as being cool. We're all cool in our own individual way.
And do you think there's any way, is it somewhat incoherent to say that someone can try to be cool and be cool? If you're trying, does that cancel out the desired effect?
Well, there. I mean, if we talk about what happens in terms of society and in our environment, if someone is trying to be cool, then the people who class themselves as cool and gallivant around saying that they are cool, call them not cool because they see that they're trying.
Yeah.
But you don't have to try to be cool. The thing that you have to try to be is yourself. Because if you try to be yourself and you're successful at being yourself, then that's it. That's all you need to be cool. It doesn't matter what people think.
Yeah, as Jag said, finishing off that last one, she said, just be yourself. And I think that's the majority of the vibes I was getting when I asked people. So thank you so much, Mo, for joining us and enlightening us. I will be getting lessons from you if I decide that trying to be cool is something that I want to pursue. But thank you very much for your insights. Coming up after the next track, we have some more discussion and we'll have a bit of a debate live on air later between another few members of LSR who are from varying different backgrounds of music tastes, etc., to see what they think about some things. We're also going to be chatting about the influence of film and media. But thank you so much, Mo.
My pleasure.
Mo's just been elected the King of Cool by a unanimous group of LSR voters. And coming up shortly, we have a debate with three more of the Great Committee to talk about their concepts of cool in terms of music, fashion and the media. It's interesting to note that a lot of people have said so far that films, for example, are a huge influence. And I wonder if potentially you always need the uncool to make the cool in a film. So we'll be discussing that in just a little bit. So joining me in the studio now, Katie, Jag and Ollie, hello.
Hello.
A little group chorus there. So you're here today to chat a bit later in some more depth about positive and negative effects of the idea of cool. But for now, can you think of any particular moment where a film has a cool character or there is someone really cool and that made you think, right, that's how you become cool and that's why I want to be them? Any examples at all?
Anything Quentin Tarantino, like the whole I'm not cool. I've completely forgotten the name of the film. It's really famous, you know.
Which one? Django?
Yeah, no, the other one. The one before that.
Reservoir Dogs.
The one after that.
This is like we've turned this into a film guessing game. I love it.
The one with the burgers and...
Oh, Pulp Fiction?
Yeah, Pulp Fiction.
Right, okay. Right, do you know what? That's slightly worrying if that's what you're basing your call after. Keep an eye out for Ollie. That could get slightly
well,
violent.
Well, no, they're really just like... The way they just walk around.
Yeah.
And then, like, obviously don't go and murder people, but they're
so,
just really... Just
for
like,
example,
yeah.
Do you think it was the John Travolta in that film that made it cool, or John Travolta's character? Because if you compare him to, say, John Travolta in Hairspray, how do you think the coolness rises and falls there?
I'd say it would definitely be John Travolta's character, because he's gone a bit creepy now, hasn't he?
Katie Dagg, what about you?
Well, I don't know. I have a few issues with the idea of basing cool perhaps on films, because as a genre itself, it's entirely based on looks, image, how things are portrayed. In itself, it is an act. You know, everything about it is fake, even if it's based on a true story. You know, it's not got the real people in it, that kind of thing. I mean, maybe a recent example is the Amy Winehouse film. You know, it's about her, but how much of it is true or false? I know her dad had quite a few issues with it after it came out.
Yeah.
And I don't know, for me, I'd find it quite hard to base... what I consider cool from a film, because as I said, you know, it's all a performance, it's all artifice,
it's completely constructed.
I can totally see someone in a film and think, oh my gosh, I wish I was like them, they are so cool, but I'm not sure I'd base my perception of cool from that.
And I read an article in Glamour magazine the other day, and it was about Ollie's face. Oh, exciting. Louisa Reed's, who knew?
It's more the glamour.
Obviously. And it was about how, apparently, yet again, for the 15th million time this year, Geek Chic is now back in. So we had a little, they gave us a little timeline of a rundown of exactly the geek timeline over the decades. And there were loads and loads of kind of coming-of-age films in there. So stuff like 10 Things I Hate About You and Annie Hall, and things where it was like, ooh, a bit gawkish, but we kind of like them. We kind of want to be like them. They're geeky, but in a cool way. Jag, do you think that being geeky in a really cool way is something that only happens in films, or can that happen in real life? I mean, you're earlier we heard you say on the little interview that you think being yourself is what makes you cool.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, like, I think being a cool and being geek can cross over. I mean, your concept of both is, you know, subjective to whatever you think.
Of course.
But for example, someone like a film I love is Juno. I think it's great. I mean, she's not really a geek, but she's
definitely an outsider. She's
definitely
uncool an outsider
in the social sphere of like high school. She's uncool.
Definitely the boyfriend character probably could be classed as a geek.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
What was his name?
I only know Michael Cera as the actor. Yeah. I can't tell you that. Yeah.
Exactly. He's a geek, right? But he's so cool. He's hilarious. He's so funny. Ellen Page as an actress, I think she's one of the coolest women out there. And that kind of, and the whole role of Juno, like this kind of pregnant teenager, like she doesn't really care, she's like, yeah, whatever, has a hamburger phone. I think she's so cool. I guess she's geeky, but
and yet if that fictional character were a real person in your school, how do you think your individual school years, say in year 10, would have reacted to her being alive in your school? I mean, what would the reaction have been, despite Jag saying, oh, she's still cool in the film, in real life what do you think?
This is what I find really annoying, because I've spent most of my life being a right nerd, and I think I still am. Like, I'm the only scientist.
And what do you think makes you a nerd?
I actively enjoy chemistry and sort of science and all of that, and I spent most of my sort of formative years being called a nerd, and not in like a, oh, he's really cool, he's a nerd, just he's a nerd. And then suddenly this whole Geek Chic thing came along with like the Big Bang Theory and all of that, and suddenly people popped on a set of specs which had no lenses in them, and they were like, yeah, I'm doing Geek Chic. It was like, well, first of all, you're not smart enough to claim to be a geek. And it was just like, I've spent so long like doing this because that's just who I happen, like, I just happen to do this. And then like, yeah, we do
now
this.
It's fashionable.
Now it's fashionable. And it's just like...
Also, just going along that same vein, I've noticed as a kind of someone who enjoys doing sport a lot, this new, I don't know if anyone else has noticed, particularly around campus, but I kind of when I go back home as well, this new thing of girls having to wear gym gear all the time, even if they're not going to the gym.
Nike, Adidas, got it all.
My trainers are up in the air right now. I'm just displaying to everyone that's exactly what's going on. Exactly. I would say a few years ago, had I been at uni, I probably would have specifically worn an outfit then changed into gym gear when I go to the gym later. Now, I would say people would happily, if not purposefully, wear stuff all day because that is now cool.
It's a bit showy. Cool. It's the ones that come in their Griffin outfits. It's like, when did you have your Griffin training? Oh, yeah, this morning. And you went home, had a shower, and then put some new stuff on. So you're sat here just making sure everyone knows.
It baffles me because you see some of these outfits and you just think, you know, I bet that top has never seen a speck of sweat in its life. Mm. And that is entirely what is designed
and
to
how
do.
And when was it decided that suddenly that's cool? Why is that suddenly the done thing? Jag, what do you think?
I literally don't know. Like, I'm still trying to figure it out myself. But I don't know, it's hard because it's a trend, isn't it? Like, people are just wearing it because it's fashionable. I don't know who made it fashionable. Like, it's not a particularly hideous trend. Like, we all have some kind of Nike sportswear probably that we have. I don't know, trainers or whatever. But, I don't know.
And I think the very fact that Glamour magazine was able to draw up a timeline of what they called the kind of the geek moments, the big defining things that brought nerd in.
There were
quite a few film things. There were moments where, for example, like an actress or a singer had worn a certain geeky outfit, and all of this is in inverted commas because, again, what do you class as geeky? Where does that come from? So earlier I asked the same set of lovely media society people to tell me what taught them the meaning of cool. We're coming to the end bit and I kind of want to get to the bottom of this whole cool thing. What is cool and who decided? To help me the other day try and unravel a little bit more of this fascinating dilemma, I asked, as I said earlier, the media societies to tell me who taught them the meaning of cool.
I taught myself what cool means.
Well, the idea of cool is a social construct completely.
I sort of learnt it from watching TV. You learn what's cool. Like, look at Drake Bell compared to Josh. Like, Drake is the cool one.
No one taught me. I guess it's sort of just social perceptions and sort of things you pick up.
My dad's the coolest guy I know.
I think it's just embedded in our culture.
If you're yourself, then I guess you're the best you can be, which technically makes you cool. So I guess I've learned that from watching people I think are cool be themselves.
Who is cool? I mean, like, growing up, it was always like the guy from Drake and Josh. Like, Drake was the cool guy.
Society, Louisa. Maybe films. You see a lot of cool people in films.
You're just born with it, aren't you? You're just, like, born, you can just, like, see that someone's cool. Like, they've got, like, that vibe. You can smell it. It's like a smell.
That's a quote. Oliver Bramley, how do you stand by that? Is it a smell?
I think, yeah, definitely it is a smell.
I think so.
Like, you can, if someone smells mad, they're not cool.
Agreed.
So we noticed there, coincidentally, completely, two separate people mentioned Drake and Josh. So that was a kind of noughties Nickelodeon, I believe, comedy show about two brothers who one is inherently cool and the other is not. And nowadays, Josh Peck, who played the supposedly uncool of the two, he's lost a lot of weight. He's become a comedian and he does a lot of YouTubing and Vining, and people really, really love him. And he's become somewhat of classic hot boy pinup of late. Could he go back? Could
what,
he
the
now?
The bloke from Harry Potter did the same, didn't he?
Which one?
Neville.
Neville,
oh my God,
indeed.
Yes.
They're actually really similar. I'd say he's like a British version. They look quite similar, actually. Mm. So could either of them go back and play the characters they played before or now?
Yes.
Could they? Why is that?
Could
Josh Peck now play Josh and Drake and Josh?
Yeah, I think, like, for example, there's a film called Just Friends, and Ryan Reynolds, is that his name?
Mm.
Yeah. This is, like, way back in, like, 2005.
Yeah.
He plays this, like, lame loser, like, in high school, really fat.
Would Josh Peck have been cast now, though? So if Jag was head of casting, yeah, sure. Katie, say someone else is head of casting. Would he be cast?
Well, see, this goes back to my dilemma that I'm going through at the moment in my head is that I think when we look at ourselves, we have a very different definition of cool to when we look at other people.
Mm.
And so actually that your example of a casting director is quite a good example of that, because you are in that position where you may see something as cool yourself, but obviously understanding that other people see it differently and, you know, what a wider audience is looking for.
Yeah.
And I think for me, there is, if you're going with the idea of cool as in, you know, cool, you know, they're the one you want
to
be. I don't think anyone knows what we're talking about anymore. I think there does have to be this sense of kind of detachment and this air of not understanding that you're cool. This, you know, as Jag was saying, there's just no desire. There's no kind of construction of it.
And I said to Mo earlier, the dictionary definition, if you just type cool definition into Google, the first one is at a fairly low temperature, obviously. Second one is showing no friendliness towards a person or enthusiasm for an idea or project. And the word that's been tossed around a lot is nonchalance. Like, is that something we agree with then? That you have to be, be self-aware?
That's a level of nonchalance.
Nonchalance?
I think, yeah, it's... But I think there are, like, it depends it obviously depends who you're asking, but I think that's, like, a very mainstream idea of cool, like, something you can put in films and telly.
And magazines and stuff.
And magazines. Okay. And then there's a lot of times you go, oh, yeah, they're really weird, but you know what? They're actually really cool.
I've heard that a lot. That's possibly one of the most heard things at uni.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they're so weird, but in a really cool way.
But I think there's also quite a fine line, again, of between nonchalance and kind of meanness and this air of detachment and that I'm too cool for you, that sort of thing, which I think is something
that doesn't make you cool.
Well, exactly, but I think that's what people, particularly I felt at school, that was what cool was. And I'm actually we kind of discovered, you know, a few years in that no one really liked the cool kids. I'm using inverted commas
at
university. I think that has expanded. So everyone is respected for what they're good at and makes them cool.
And why do you think that is? So why is it different at university? Like, Jag, why do you think there's a step? I mean, in my mind there was certainly a step between form in here, but have you found the same thing, and why do you think that is?
I completely agree, and I was kind of discussing this with my housemates last night. Like, I've never been cool. Like, at school I was never cool. Like, I was pretty lame, I was really weird. Like, I liked anime. Anyway, that's enough about me. But and now I came here and people are like, oh, you're so cool, like, you have an afro, and I'm like, sick one. But like, what does that mean? I have an afro. Fair, yeah, I'm just my authentic
self.
There are lots
of people in Leeds who might not have seen someone with an afro.
Perhaps. But whatever it is, I think...
Snide comment from Oliver Bramley in the corner.
I think... Watch it, Specs. I think if you're your authentic self, that is cool. And I think, unfortunately, the way school is, like, people are immature, people don't know themselves, people are not brave enough to be themselves. They want to be this construct of cool, which is kind of lame.
I suppose on the other end of the cool spectrum, you have words like weird, geek, and nerd. Little doorbell in the background. You have words like weird, geek, nerd, and they are possibly the same or different. Do you think if you're aware that you are, for example, weird, if you consider yourself weird, does that make you weirder? Does that cancel it out, or does that breed it more?
I think people use the word weird mainly just because they're quite intimidated by people who come in. Like, usually the people who go, oh, you're a real weirdo, is because, like, they see sort of pure confidence in what people are doing, and like, they just, like, people who are weird generally have like a thing that they really like, and they're happy to really embrace that thing. And people who are like, oh yeah, you're weird, it's like a defense mechanism of like, actually, I can see that you're cool, I can see that you don't have any sort of quibble about who you are.
Yeah.
And suddenly I'm having some sort of existential crisis within myself.
So I'll just call you weird.
I
think that's so true. It's this idea of otherness. We can't we want to be that person, but because we're not, they are an other, and we can't understand that. And so we put this label weird. I'd say it's almost as bad as cool, but weird has maybe slightly more positive connotations now, I think, in a lot of ways.
I think it's the same with like people going, oh, that's really gay, or that's really lame. It's just like sort of... they're all really short words that you can just like throw out in a panic.
People are just scared of what's different. Yeah. I think if you embrace your difference and your weirdness or your coolness, then that's going to work in your favor.
And do any of you think that you've had a moment where you've strived to be cool? Is that something you've ever consciously gone after?
Yes. There was a point in year 10 I was like, God, I'm just so sick of talking to these people who have nothing to say. I'm going to make an effort to like pretend to be cool so I can talk to some other people.
and how did that go?
It was good, actually. I faked it for a bit, and then sort of they just got used to me being really odd, and I had a new group of friends I could talk to.
So I mean, I think the way this is going, we could probably end up chatting about this all day. I know that I certainly could. Hours and hours. Ollie is the head of news, so I know for a fact he will get on my back if I don't play the adverts right away, because otherwise his newsreader won't come in. So I'm so sorry, but that is the end of the first episode of Loose Think Tank. Thank you so much to my wonderful guests, Jag, Katie, and Ollie. I think that's really interesting. And I'm not sure, of course you can, I'll send you a list of the other topics. I'm not sure how much we've unravelled there, apart from the fact that potentially total authenticity in yourself and potentially a lack of awareness of what other people think is what can promote this idea of coolness. But whether it's something we strive for or not is a completely different question. So thank you all so much for coming along today. This has been Lee's Think Tank. I will see you next week for another hugely controversial topic.
This is a podcast from Leeds Student Radio.